Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you the praise this morning. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Come on, say it again. Say it again, amen.
Amen.
Lord, we glorify your name. And we say, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thine is the glory, the greatness and the power. Everything that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and thou rulest over all. And in thy hand, O Lord, is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand, O Lord, it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, O Lord, our God, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. We thank you also, Lord, because thou hast taken to thee your great power and has reigned in our lives already, and you will reign in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, talk no more so exceeding proudly, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now, Lord, unto you that is able to keep us from falling, unto you be the praise and be the glory. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord, and let your name be praised. Let our hearts be blessed. And everybody said, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, today, it is well. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul. Not just my soul, but it is well. And I'm going to be reading and sharing with us the story of this Shunammite woman in the Bible. And, you know, I know we've read it. We've heard about it, but let's take a look at it from various perspectives today and see how the Lord is going to bless our hearts. So I'm going to start here in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Now, you may not know that a great deal of text is devoted to the story of this woman, whom we don't know too much about her or her name and so forth like that. You know, but, you know, we're going to read and find out some things about her today. So in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, I am going to read. Here's the text I'm going to be reading. So you can write it down if you want and go check it up later on, because I'm going to breeze through a lot of the text and then, you know, paraphrase some of it. But the text is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 8 through 37, and also 2 Kings, chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, the story of this woman from those two chapters. And so here we go. In 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. And it fell on a certain day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us therefore make him a little chamber, I pray thee, by the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh unto us, he shall turn in thither. Can you say praise the Lord? So let me pause that story right there. Let's begin to take a look at some of the characteristics of this woman's story. There's about seven different things that I am going to talk about today. But remember, the message is, it is well. Praise the Lord. Now, the first thing that we notice about this woman is her kindness. That's the first thing we notice. We notice that this woman, the first thing we heard about her was she constrained the man of God. She said, no, you got to come in here, sit down, and eat some food. Amen. Now, we've been talking today about, you know, feeding strangers and so forth like that. And I said, wow. You know. So anyway, she constrained the man to eat. Constrained means, I mean, you persuade. Maybe the man say, no, you know, I'm okay, and so forth. He said, no, you know, you need to eat some food, you know. Get some rest, take the load off, and so on, you know. She made him some food, she ate and all that. And she said, look, Anytime you are in town, you know, just come over here and so forth like that. You know, we'll fix your meal and all that. You know, so, and it, you know, so it happened that, well, the man of God said, well, gee, you know, this woman, she take care of me and so forth. So every time he went there with his sovereign, you know, they would just say, well, you know, let's go over to that woman's house. She'll fix us up a meal. So the lady says to her husband, she said, well, you know, this man of God, he's coming here and so forth. Like, let's just fix him up a little room, you know, so, you know, he'll have his own privacy when he comes here. We'll put a bed. We know he likes to study. Give him a table. Give him a candle, you know, light. That's like a lamp in those days. Put a lamp there and so forth, you know. And, let me just have some space. The husband said, all right, well, that's fine. So let's do it. So they did it. They built him a place, you know. And this man, he would come every time he was in that part of town. He'd stay over there. So the first thing we notice here is this woman's kindness. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. We also notice that this woman is perceptive. She recognized that this is a man of God. You know, I mean, the man didn't do too much and brag about himself or do anything, but the woman just saw the way that he carried himself, you know, and so forth like that, and said, well, I recognize that this man is a man of God. You know, so let's give him some assistance. He needs a quiet place. He needs a place to meditate and study and so on and so forth. So they did that. So that's the first thing we notice about this woman, the kindness and the fact that she reached out, you know, and helped and supported the man of God. Amen. Amen, folks. That's the first thing that we notice about her. So let's pick up the story again in verse 11. So it fell on a certain day, one of those days where Elisha came by again. So he came by and went into the house. The woman said, well, I got your place ready. So she goes over here. And so the man of God, Elisha, has this, his servant with him called Gehazi. So Gehazi, so the servant, the man of God calls his servant and says, look, this woman who has been so careful to take care of us with so great care and everything like that, why don't you find out what it is she needs? Call the woman. So the servant went and called the woman. So she stood by the door. And so listen to what the man of God said to her. He said to his servant in verse 13, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it that thou should be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king? Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? Do you want me to speak to the captain of the host? Because, you know, I can speak to them. Maybe there's something that you really need. I mean, you're doing all of these things for us. What can we do for you in return? Now, the next thing I want you to note about this woman is her response. So this is the next thing in this story. Let's look at the response that the woman gave at the end of verse 13. After Elisha said all of these things, I can speak to the king for you. I can speak to the captain of the host. Is there anything you need? Do you need a bodyguard? Do you need this? Do you need that? I mean, do you need whatever you want a king to do? I can speak to you because you've been doing these things for me. Listen to the answer of the woman. She said, I dwell among my own people. Hallelujah. You may not know what that means, but it means that the woman had contentment. She wasn't looking for anything. I don't need a king to do this for me. I don't need the captain of the host to do that for me. You know, I'm dwelling among my own people. So, you know, I'm okay. Praise the Lord. She had contentment even though she had a big burden in her life. And we'll find out what the burden is in a minute. But she had contentment. She said, you know, I don't need to be spoken to the king. I'm all right. You know, because usually the king would have said, okay, well, you know, let's give her this thing there. Let's give her that over there and so on. And anybody take anything from her, the captain of the host will say, let it be restored and all that. Said, no, I'm all right, you know. So that's the next thing we notice. We see that she had contentment. And she said, I dwell among my people. Well, so the man of God said, well, what is it then that should be done for her? I mean, you know, I offer that we can speak to the king for her. Offer that we can speak to the captain of the host, chief of army staff, or whatever it is. And she wouldn't do nothing. What is it really? So Gehazi said, well, I perceive that the woman has no child. Ah, and the man of God said, aha, call the woman. So she comes closer, and he said, listen to this. He said in verse 15, call her. And when she came and she stood by the door, he said, and the man of God said to her, about this season, according to the time of life, hallelujah, thou shalt embrace a son. I mean, he put it out there, point blank. 9 months from today, you will embrace a son. And the woman said, oh, my Lord, don't lie to me, and so forth. So now we notice a little twist in her behavior now. You know, all of a sudden now, you know, something, you know, there's some unhappy memories and some things that come up. Maybe she's tried many times before to have this child and she couldn't. Maybe some people have told her before that she will have the child and she couldn't, and so forth. So, you know, something, you know, some sad memories. I mean, the man touched on some, you know, a sore spot now. You know, because this is one area that is very sore with her. You know, and she had just given up on that and said, well, you know, I'm okay, and so forth like that. But the man of God said, well, that's the way it's going to be. She said, well, I don't know. You know, don't give me any false hopes now, because people probably have given her false hopes before and they didn't come to pass, and so on and so forth. So she said that, you know. But anyway, the man of God, he stood by his word. Praise the Lord. And it wouldn't change the world anyway. So the man just left it like that and so forth. So the woman, well, according to the word of the Lord, the reason why she was distressed about it, like I said before, you know, various things may have happened, but also her husband was older. You know, so she didn't think that, you know, anything could happen again and so forth. She didn't think she could get pregnant again. And if she got pregnant again, maybe she got pregnant before and she didn't have the child. You know, who knows what had happened. But this time around, she got pregnant. Praise the Lord. In verse 17, the woman conceived and she bare a son according to the season that Elisha had spoken to her concerning the time of life. So the word of God came to pass exactly. She conceived. And a few months later, 9 months later, you know, according to the time of life, she had this son. Wow. And when the child, we pick up the story in verse 18. One day when the child was grown, it fell on a certain day that this child, he went out to his father in the field. I mean, he followed his father to the field and so forth. And then one day he just said, my father, my head, my head. So the man thinks that he's having a headache or something like that. You know, maybe the son beat up on him a little bit. I mean, the son, S-U-N, you know, was a little bit too hot that day. So he said, well, so he called one of the servants and said, okay, take the lad to his mother at home. You know, he's been out here from the sun too long. He has a headache or whatever. Take him home to his mom. You know, well, it was a little more than a headache. You know, so they take the child home. You know, the child gets home to the mother. The mother picks him up, sits him in her lap, and just looking and wondering in her heart, you know, this child is very sick. He has a very high fever, you know, and so forth. You know, stuff's going wrong, you know, and all that, like, you know, and so forth. And she's there in her mind. You know, I don't know what she's doing, but she holds the child. You know, and after a while, the child gave up the ghost right there in her hands. Listen to this story. And when he had taken him, the servant did, and brought him, verse 20, to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he died. Wow. This woman was carrying her son. She hadn't had a son for a long time. She hadn't had, you know, she didn't have a child. And finally, when she had a child, by reason of what the man of God said to her, she's about to lose this child now. And a whole world comes crumbling down. Now, this is the thing that God has done for her. God has taken her up. God has lifted her up from the sorrow. Hallelujah. God has taken her up. All the sorrow of many years of not having a child, God has wiped that sorrow away. And now she has that thing. And God, you know, she had her joy and so forth. And the devil is going to take it from her. Are you still with me, folks? Well, you know, I want to say, let me interject this in this message. You have to follow every part of this message, because just because the Lord promised you something, and just because even the Lord gave it to you, doesn't mean that the devil is not going to challenge it. The devil will challenge it every single step of the way. If he cannot stop the promise from coming, when you have it, he will try to take it away from you. Amen, folks? That is the job of the devil, because he is a thief, He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. So he could not prevent. He tried it for many years. This woman couldn't have a child. And when finally word of God broke through and she couldn't do nothing, I mean, the devil couldn't do anything about it, word of God through and said, well, I'm going to take the child. So he tried to take the child. You know, and then all of a sudden the woman is back in sorrow. You know, the woman that had been, you know, in happiness and so forth, all of a sudden she's back in sorrow. But let's see how she reacts to this calamity. Amen, folks? How did she react to this calamity? So we pick up the rest of the story here, how she's going to react to this calamity. Now, before I moved on, the Lord just reminded me something, you know, that, you know, all her kind works, before I get to that, let me go back. I missed something that I should have said. You know, all her kind works, all the time that she had been kind, I didn't ask for anything in return. See, she had been kind to the man of God. She didn't ask for anything in return and so forth like that. And even when they were promising her something, she said, well, I'm okay. You know, I'm dwelling in the midst of my people. I'm fine. I don't need, you know, nothing else, you know. But the Lord will remember her. Amen. You know, that's the thing the Lord wanted me to say. The Lord would remember all those acts of kindness. Those acts of kindness came before the Lord, came before the servant of the Lord, and he put forth the word of God on her behalf. Praise the Lord. Now, when that promise came, and the realization of that promise was with her, the song, the devil would test it again and try to take it from her. So we pick up the story here as we are going through here. So she's now got a situation where the child, you know, the only one that she's had now, dies on her knees. And now what does she do? Well, so verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door upon him and went out. Now, let's look at this reaction that this woman would have to this situation. And as you will read the rest of his story, you will see where she goes when she has this problem. She doesn't run to her friends. She doesn't even run to the emergency room or whatever. She doesn't run even to her husband, because she didn't have this child alone. You know, it's a child, it's her child, it's her husband's child as well. Something bad happens, you have to cry to your husband. She didn't even do that. Instead, she tells the husband, give me a young man to saddle me an ass. I want to go to the man of God. And she didn't tell the husband what the matter is. And meanwhile, he's not suspecting anything. You know, he said, well, what do you want to go to the man of God for today? It's not even the new moon. It's not the Sabbath day. It's not the this. It's not the that. And so forth. You know. And so let's pick up that answer right here. Verse 22. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. That's what she said. Well, you know, she didn't cry to her husband that her son was dead. She didn't say anything. She just took the child and went and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Now there's something that is fixing to happen. And I want to point your attention to something else here that the woman is recognizing. You know, she's recognizing that, you know, God, by the word of this man of God, one time brought this child into my life even when I thought it couldn't happen. And if the devil now takes this child, God can use the man of God again to bring back this child again. And I'm not going to talk to nobody, because this miracle came through him when he spoke, and I believe. And God did it. Actually, maybe she didn't believe, but God had mercy on her anyway. You know, so, but the mercy of God reminded her that, look, God had done it once before. Don't lose hope now. Amen. And so when the husband challenged her, why are you going to trouble the man of God today and so forth? Like, of course, the man of God, he had left. He went to the top of Mount Carmel, where he stays before the Lord and so forth. Why would you go and trouble him and so on? Say, well, you know, listen to our answer. Verse 23. The man said to her, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath and so forth. And she said, it shall be well. How many of you can say amen? That's right. Well, you know, you mean It shall be well. Don't worry about it. All is well. So anyway, they gave her the, what she requested, the servant to drive the, the little donkey and they have the little thing in those days, pull a little wagon and so forth, like a station wagon. They have the little thing, pull it. And she says to the man, now, don't slow down for anybody. Don't even stop, except I ask you to stop. Nobody else can tell you. Drive and go forward until we get to the man of God. Amen. Amen, folks. And she said, okay, so the man, they went forward. And they came unto the man of God in verse 25 to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, now behold yonder is this Shunammite. Go find out what's wrong. Nor and I pray thee, she said, and ask her and say, is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Is it well with thee? Ask all these questions. And let's see what her response was. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, he said to his servant. And say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? And is it well with the child? Now, of course, the child is dead. And she answered and said, what? Can everybody say with me what she said? It is well. Hallelujah. It is well. It is well with my husband. It is well with me. It is even well with the dead child. Hallelujah. It is well. So, if it is well, then why you come here? She came and so forth. And then, she came to the man of God, caught him by the, by the ankles and say, she began to, groan within her spirit. So the man of God said, there's something wrong with this woman right now. Her spirit is troubled within her, and the Lord has not told me. The Lord has refrained from telling me. He hasn't shown me what her problem is. Praise the Lord. Well, there's also a lesson to be learned in that. This great prophet Elisha, even this thing the Lord did not tell him. So the Lord does not owe anybody the responsibility of telling you everything, even when you are a great prophet like Elisha. This one, God didn't tell him. And the woman was there, and he still hadn't discerned it. so finally, God didn't tell him. So finally, the woman said, did I not tell you that you shouldn't lie to me about this son? Did I not tell you? And then immediately he realized, there must be something wrong with the child. Now, he wasn't, up to this time, he had not seen a vision. Now, Elisha was a man that you could be speaking, a king of Syria could be speaking in his house. The Lord tell him everything he would say over here. But this time, the Lord didn't show it to him, And then he said, but then because of the way the woman spoke and so forth, he said, I know it's got to be the child. So he said, all right, call the servant. He said, here's my staff. You run and go lay my staff on the child, and I'll be right there and so forth. And the woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not leaving this place unless you go with me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, the woman, she recognized the anointing of God. She recognized, now, let me say something to you, too, about the anointing of God, how it works. You may already know that. But you see, it is the anointing that you respect that can work for you. This woman respected and knew that the anointing of God was in this man's life. And that's why it was going to work for her. If you don't regard the anointing, it's not going to work for you. So anyway, she said, I'm not going anywhere unless you go with me. So finally, he got up and he went with her. And when he got there and so forth, before he got there, the servant ran ahead of them, laid the stick, the staff on the child. Nothing happened. There was neither hearing, nor voice, nor anything. So he came back again and met them on the way and said, the child is not even awakened. I've done what you said. So Elisha went in and, laid on the child, breathed on the child, prayed for and so forth like that. And finally, the Lord restored the child to life. Praise the Lord. And when the Lord had restored the child to life, here's what he said. He called his servant in verse 36. Call this Shunammite woman now. And he called her. And he said, go in and take up thy son. So he goes in, she goes in and takes up her son, and the son is alive. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you give the Lord a hand clap here this morning? Come on, people. You know, we ought to praise the name of the Lord. This is a great miracle. The child was dead. When Elisha got there, the Bible said, behold, the child was dead. And he had been dead several hours. The whole day he has been dead, you know. But by a miracle, the man of God praying, and the Lord told him, stretch your hand, stretch over him, and so forth. He did all of that, whatever he could do. And he went and prayed some more, walked around about in the house and prayed some more, came back and did this and prayed some more. About 7 times he went back and forth, did that, you know. And then finally, the child came back to life. And he restored the child to the woman. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, there are some more aspects that I will cover in this woman's story, but let me pause here and bring out how God rewarded again. Let me bring it out again here. How God rewarded this woman's, you know, kindness and faithfulness over the years in taking care of the man of God and all the things she did. And God not only gave her a miracle, even when she was despondent and thought she couldn't have it, God gave it to her because her good works came up in remembrance before God. How many of you are still with me? Her good works came up. There are many examples in the Bible. There are some people who daily gave alms in the Bible, and God remembered them, and their good alms came to before God. Cornelius was the same way. He was daily giving alms and doing good things and so forth, and one day God remembered him, and his alms spoke for him. Amen. Therefore, be not weary in well-doing, saith the Lord, because God remembers these things. You know, and all the things that this woman had done and so forth came up before God, and God remembered her. And even when the devil took, you know, that gift of life that God gave her through the son, you know, God remembered her again. Hallelujah! You know, and not only did God remember all of that, God actually recorded it among his hall of faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, this story of this woman is recorded there. Hallelujah. Some women received their dead raised back to life. That was this woman, and perhaps some, a few others, but this woman was definitely one of those people that received their dead raised back to life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And how did it all start? Where is the chronicle of this? It started by her acts of kindness. The acts of kindness that she showed. Day after day, month after month, year after year, that the man of God came. And it went on for a while. And God, finally, all of these things came up in remembrance before him. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord, folks. And when it was time that God began to respond to her in kind for all the things that she did, it was miracle after miracle after miracle. First, it was the miracle of the child. And then when the devil came against her, you know, and so forth, killed the child by whatever, took advantage of his illness and took the life of the child, God restored the child again back to life. Amen. So that was yet another miracle and so forth like that. And God is not finished with this woman. You know, that's the end of that story right there. But God is not finished with this woman. So we are going to fast forward. We're going to leave chapter 4 and we're going to fast forward to chapter 8. Because God is not finished about the story of this woman. Now, in between chapters 4 and 8, there are many other exploits that Elisha did. But we are not covering the exploits of Elisha today, so I'm going to skip all those. But among the things that Elisha did, you know, one of the things, many things, people began to know that Elisha was a man of God. They knew him in the land. Even the king, they knew him. And when they were having serious problems, you know, the king was expecting that Elisha would solve that problem, you know. And because he didn't solve the problem, there was great distress in the land, famine and everything and so forth. And he said, one day the king stared up himself and he said, well, okay, God do so to me and more. This is the way they used to swear in those days. God do so to me and more if today the head of Elisha shall remain upon his head. What did Elisha do to you? Elisha is not the one that caused the problem, you know, but they're thinking that Elisha should solve the problem. And Elisha hadn't done it, you know. So then one thing next to another, he sends the servant, you know, I'm just, this is an interlude between this story and the other story. But he sends, there's something interesting that connects them together. That's what I want to bring up. So, you know, he sends his servant to go and take the head of Elijah off, Elisha. Before the servant gets there, Elisha is sitting in the room and he said to the people that are sitting around him, do you know that this man, this son of a mad dog, has sent his servant to come and take off my head? Therefore, hold him fast at the door, he said. You know, his feet are just there. And his servant and his master is right behind him, you know. And then, as soon as he finished speaking, the man came to the door and all of that. And so everything happened just like he said. So finally, Elisha bestirred himself. He said, oh, wow. This thing is of the Lord. Well, you know, well, maybe the Lord had been bestirring him to do something and he wasn't doing it. So finally he said, well, what should I wait for the Lord anymore? Now he stands up. He said, well, okay, here you go. And he's going to bestir himself now. I'm going to give the word. He said, well, by this time tomorrow, hallelujah, things will be so cheap in this city that you are not going to believe it. Amen. Amen, people. You know, one time I gave an example of this story of how you might see how it is. It's kind of like, you know, remember when gasoline prices were so high in this place? Well, almost like $4 a gallon. And during that time that it was like $4 a gallon and so forth, you know, if somebody has stood up in the word of the Lord, in the message of the Lord, and has said, gasoline is $4 a gallon all over the land, and said, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold for a quarter a gallon. Then nobody would have believed it. Amen? That's exactly the same kind of thing. I mean, there was dirt, famine, scarcity all over the land and so forth. And it was so tremendous, you know, but Elisha came out with this incredible pronunciation. And he said, things are so cheap, might be so cheap tomorrow. You know, something that is normally sold for, two, you know, you're going to get two for the price of one, and you even get, they even give you one more for free. I mean, things will just be so surplus. And everybody said, and so one of the chief of army staff or whatever says, well, even if the Lord will open the windows in heaven, how can this thing be? Well, he said that to his own destruction. Folks, if you don't believe the word of God, you better keep your mouth shut. Amen. And just pray. I say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. That's the best prayer you can pray. But don't go up against the word of the Lord. Because this man, he went up against the word of the Lord and said, if the Lord will even open the windows of heaven, how can this thing be? Elisha said, is that a fact? Well, the Lord will indeed do it, but you will see it and you will not taste of it. Now, that's a terrible situation. Of course, it happened to him exactly. As the story went, when everything went and the Lord did with the four lepers and so forth, I can't go into all of that story, and there was a surplus and they went and raided the camp of the Syrians who had fled and so forth, and everybody was selling things so cheap and so forth, there was a stampede. And this man, against whom the word of the Lord had spoken, was there in the gate, and he was trodden down in the stampede of the people rushing to do the spoils and so forth, and he died, according to the word of the Lord. So not only did the surplus come according to the word of the Lord, the man that, you know, scorned the word of the Lord did not taste of it according to the word of the Lord also. So we fast forward to this woman's story, you know, and there was a little reprieve there for a minute because of the surplus and so forth, but the famine was still in the land. So we get to chapter 8 now. So let's fast forward to chapter 8. So in chapter 8, this man of God calls this woman again. You know, well, you know, all we hear about her is how the woman, the Shunammite, and so forth. We don't, you know, the Bible doesn't go into a great deal of personal story about her, or, I mean, her name, where she come from, who her father is, and so forth. You know, we're not told all those things. But, so she says, Elisha says to her, you know, in chapter 8, verse 1, then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise! And go and sojourn wherever you want. You know, because the Lord has called for a famine. You know, and this famine is going to be so great. Now, listen to this, folks. The Lord continues to look out for this woman. Even when there is going to be severe trouble in the land, it already started, but Elisha is warning her by the word of the Lord because of the kindness and all the acts of kindness he has shown, she had shown. The Lord continues to remember this woman. And the Lord says to her through the word of Elisha, look, giving her some good advice, there is going to be tremendous trouble in the land. So get up out of this land, go wherever you may go, and stay there because the famine is going to be so sore and you are not going to be able to survive if you stay here. And the Lord still remembered her. Amen. Amen. The Lord continued to remember her. So she left. Listen to this. The Bible says, so she went and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. But that's not the end of this story. The story just keeps getting more fascinating about this woman. You know, I mean, it's just fascinating. It's just a lot of things, you know, and so forth. So finally, you know, and I preached a message, a couple of messages that tie back to back to this thing I'm about to say. Some years ago, I preached on the message of divine appointments, a couple of years ago. And then a few months back, I preached on the message of blessings in disguise, just a few weeks back. And these things tie together of how God does things. You know, He arranges things that you may not even know anything about. Amen. Amen. You should go back and listen to those messages. I think they're good. I had an opportunity to share those messages with some people during the week. And, you know, so I went back and listened to it myself, and I thought, wow, you know. So, you know, the Lord, He has a way to arrange these divine appointments. A divine appointment is something that, you know, God arranged that you didn't even know anything about. And even the participants may not even know that God has put some things in motion. But the Lord was fixing to put even more things in motion for this woman. So let's see what happened. And it came to pass, verse 3 of chapter 8, 2 Kings. At the end of 7 years, that this woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and her land. She left her house. Her house was already taken over. She abandoned the place for 7 years. Maybe somebody else acquired the land. Maybe whatever happened, I don't know. Maybe the king, whoever. Some, you know, she lost everything because she'd been gone for 7 years. So, at that same time that she went, prepared in her to go back, she had heard that things, you know, have returned to normal. You know, the famine is over. I mean, you know, and so forth. So she wants to return. She wants to go back to her place. So, she doesn't like living in the land of Philistines. So she's going, I'm going to go cry to the king and see if I can get my stuff back. So at that very instant, because the Lord will do something great again for this woman. Hallelujah. God arranges these things, folks. And it all started in the case of this woman by her attitude of kindness and by her attitude of it is well. Not grumbling, not complaining, not, you know, not being, you know, like, you know, just bitter and so forth against the Lord about everything, you know, but having this positive attitude that it is well, you know, and God will continue to remember her. So she comes to the king. And just at the time that she was about to come to the king. So the king, now, in the meantime, Gehazi, who used to be Elisha's servant, is no longer with Elisha because, you know, he did something bad in chapter 5 with Naaman and so forth like that. So anyway, he's in the house of the king. And so the king is saying, you know, tell me, you used to be with this man of God. Tell me. All the great miracles. We've heard he did so many things. Tell me all the things that this man did. I mean, why is it that on exactly this day, I mean, every day for the past 7 years, this man could have asked this question. He didn't until this day. But there's a reason behind it. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord is engineering something again for this woman. So he is saying, well, tell me all the things that this man of God that we heard did. And it came to pass, you know, well. So he began to tell him, verse 5. He said, look, do you know that this man actually restored a dead son to life? There was a woman and so forth, and he began to tell the story. And he began to tell the king the story, look, this man of God, he did great things. He restored, you know, a dead son of a woman to life. And at that very moment, praise ye the name of the Lord. At that very moment, the lady who had been coming all on her trip, arrived at the king's court at that very moment. That the king was talking about this, and the man was talking about, you know, the woman that, you know, Elisha restored, you know, and so forth. And as she began to cry unto the Lord, unto the king, Gehazi looked down and said, who's there? And he said, my king, my lord, this is the woman. Hallelujah. This is the woman of whom I was just talking to you about. This is the woman. This is the woman. And this is her child. Wow. And the boy is grown now and so forth like that. You know, 7 years have passed, so he's a grown boy now. You know, so maybe he's 10 years old, 12 or whatever. I don't know what he is now, but he's grown. So the lady, the woman, the king said, is this story for real? Did Elisha actually restore your son? He said, what? Look at him. He was there, but he's here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the woman began to tell the king, he said, oh, so far like that. I left, you know, and all of that, you know, my land. And so the king gave commandment. Praise the Lord. Just because of the king might not have done anything for her. There was no reason, you know, for him to do anything. But because of the timing of the law, because somebody was just talking to her about her son being raised to life by the prophet. You know, and they said, this is the very woman. And she stood right there. And the Lord, you know, put it in the king's eye, said, all right, whatever this woman wants, hallelujah, woo, whatever she needs, from the time she left her land 7 years ago until now, plus interest, hallelujah, give it back to her. Woo, hallelujah, give it all back to her. And she gave he gave the commandment. And she got back the land, my land. She got everything. She got even more. See, God kept looking out for her all through that time. And God brought her back to her possession. Remember, this woman, she loved her place. She was content where she was. I dwell in the midst of my people. She didn't want to be in the land of the Philistines. And God brought her back and gave her even much more. Gave her the increase of the land for 7 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a way that they used to calculate the increase of the land in those days. I don't have time to get into that. And they gave it all to her for the last 7 years. My goodness. Now, let's look back at the great points in this woman's story. There are so many things that I have brought out in this story, you know, of all the various things. And here are the things we brought out. First, we brought out the woman's kindness to the man of God over and over again that she used to do. Next, we brought out her contentment when the prophet was willing to even speak to the king or the chief of army staff about her, and she said, I dwell in the army, you know, I dwell in my own place. And then we would see that even when she was discouraged because of probably what had happened in the past, that the Lord would have mercy on her. And she got that baby anyhow. And then next, it's about the fourth point. Next, we saw that when the devil challenged this blessing in her life, she knew where to run to. Amen. That's right. In the day of her calamity, she did not run to husband, this and that, and so forth. She ran straight back to the source. She said, well, I know the man of God. I know the word of the Lord is in his mouth. And I'm going to go right back there. And as she went there. Now, this woman also, number five, she would not confess any negative thing, even in the face of death. Hallelujah. Her son being dead, she still said it shall be well. Not only that, when she was asked again, she said, it is well. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And the Lord remembered all those things and even recorded her name in the book of Hebrews. You know, among the people, recorded her acts, as you say, among those people and so forth. And God kept on looking out for her. Even when there was trouble coming in the land, it's number six. When that trouble was coming in the land, God looked out for her and sent her away, you know, to protect her and so forth. And when she came back, this number seven, the Lord restored to her everything that she lost, plus even more. Can you say praise the Lord? And here was a woman that learned to say, it is well with my soul. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. Is it well with you this morning? Well, it may not be well, but can you say it is well? See, it's not, things are not always necessarily well. He really wasn't, you know, if you look at it, probably wasn't really well with this woman. But by the eye of faith, hallelujah, she said it is well. You know, well, my son may be dead and so forth, but it is well. Hallelujah. And God took hold of those words. Remember, the Bible says that thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. Amen? Amen, folks? You find that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 2. You are ensnared by the words of your mouth. If you say, well, my soul is finished, I'm done for. Well, maybe you'll be done for. So don't say that. But if you say, it is well with me, it is well with my family, it is well with my soul, it is well, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. If you begin to declare to yourself the good things of God, the angels of the Lord, amen, they watch over that word. You know, sister quoted that scripture today. I love that. I've used it many times on this pulpit. Psalm 103, verse 20. He said, the angels of God that excel in strength, they watch over his word to fulfill it. And when that word proceeds out of your mouth, they watch over it and so forth. And they'll bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. So don't be saying negative things. You wake up in the morning and you declare, I declare today that my mind is clear. Hallelujah. I am walking in the light today by the grace of God. I will not stumble. I will not walk in confusion. The Lord will make my path straight. Amen. I declare that the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places, and it is well with me. It is well with my spouse. It is well with my children. It is well on my job. It is well all around me. Amen. And even though it may not look like it is well, we need to confess that it is well. I'm going to ask you to sing with me one more time this song as we confess it, that it is well. Perhaps you will be able to sing it with a little more understanding this time. In the book of Psalm 47 and verse 7, the Bible says, sing with understanding. So maybe you may be able to sing with a little more understanding this time and say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Now listen to the words of this song. He said, when peace like a river attends my way. That's, you know, when you have abundant peace. That's like Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. In the days of prosperity, rejoice. When the peace is abundant like a river in your life, rejoice. But in the days of adversity, when the sorrows like sea billows come against you from everywhere, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We are going to just sing the refrain. Sing the refrain with me a couple of times, and I'm going to pray. Whatever my lot, has the Lord taught you to say? Have you learned to say? You know, maybe the Lord is teaching us, but are we learning? Have we learned to say, it is well with my soul? Or in the face of adversity, can you say, it shall be well? Praise the Lord. Tomorrow shall be better than today. Hallelujah. Today is a new day. Yesterday is gone. Whatever challenges and so forth, or whatever bad story or bad memories and so forth, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I can't, you know, change. It's gone. But today is a new day. That was then, but this is now. It is well with my soul. It is well. Sing with me. With my soul. Oh, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Oh, it is well with my soul. My soul. Is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I am going to stand here in the word of the Lord, and I am going to speak the word of the Lord unto somebody here this morning. Amen. Amen, people. But it must be mixed with faith in your heart for it to work. But the Lord, I've already prayed that the Lord will have mercy today. Amen. Just like he heard mercy on this woman, just like he had mercy on this woman, even when she was saying, well, don't lie to me and so forth. The Lord remembered all her good works. And he had mercy on her nonetheless. And I will speak the word of faith into some life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be a situation that you are facing. For the which you might have thought that it is not well. For the which you might have thought things are upside down. Life has dealt me a bad hand, and it is not well. I want to declare to you by the word of the Lord today that it shall be well. Amen? Amen. It shall be well. You are having challenges in your life. It could be personal. It could be relationship. It could be business. It could be family. It could be anything. It could be work. It could be school even. It shall be well. Amen. Now I want you to leave. If you want me, I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. But I'm going to ask the angels of the Lord. Remember, there are some very mighty angels that are watching over his word to perform them in Psalm 103 verse 20. They are hearkening unto the voice of his word. I'm going to release that word today. Now if you want, and you want to say this morning that it is well with my soul no matter what. And you may be facing some things. I want your hand up. And I'm going to release. I'm going to ask the angels of God to sweep over your soul. I'm going to ask the Lord to pass over this audience. I'm going to ask the angels of the Lord to look at every hand that is raised. And they go into motion on your behalf. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the word of God. Your word is forever settled in heaven, and it cannot return unto you void. The word of God which we have spoken today shall make things to be well on the path of your children in Jesus' name. Now for the hands that are raised, Lord, these hands are raised unto you and not unto any man. Now let the angels of God that are strong, let them move swiftly, being caused by a swift command. Let them move on the behalf of those hands that are raised here this morning. And let them bring to pass that which is said there this morning, that it is well with them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And if you believe that, you can receive it by saying amen. Amen. It is well with you today in the name of Jesus. It is well. The lines are falling unto you in pleasant places in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I see that God is working on my behalf already. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you to believe the Lord and to believe his word. Jehoshaphat once said, believe on the Lord your God and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge any one of you that has situations during the week. Get a hold of somebody that really believes the Lord. Amen. Don't run to somebody that can't help you. Get a hold of somebody that believes the Lord. Amen. And I thank God for the men of God that are in this assembly. You can give any one of them a call at any time. They will be glad to believe God with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the men of God who are here themselves, they can believe God one with another as well. Because we are all needy people before the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, if I can get somebody to believe God with me, it doesn't have to be Pastor Peter. It doesn't have to be Pastor Emmanuel or Pastor Julius or anybody. Can be anybody here that believes the Lord. And if you can believe the Lord and we can get a hold of together, you can help me and I can help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want this church and this assembly to be a people of faith. That we can believe the Lord together for anything. And all things are possible to them that believe. Now wave your hands and thank the Lord. Wave your hands and thank the Lord. Wave your hands and thank the Lord here this morning. And say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I know it is well. Say it, folks. Say it. It is well with me. It is well with me. Begin to declare it for yourself. Hallelujah. And as you are doing that, I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. Begin to declare to yourself that it is well for you. It is well in your business. Even though you got a negative report, it is well. Hallelujah. It is well with everything in your life. It is well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. I want everybody to put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord the praise and the glory here in the house. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.